we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with an advert for Kiln Furniture Suppliers, spotted in the magazine Ceramic Review and read by Brian Perkins.
Nationwide delivery service available. We can cut and drill kiln shelves to your specifications. Call is welcome. Our socks change daily.
Well, thank you, Wilfred Goodman of Battle in East Sussex, for sending us that. And now let's meet the teams. Will you please welcome first, on my right, in the Richard Ingram's memorial chair, Francis Ween. And with him, World at One's Nick Clark. Facing them on my left, journalist and broadcaster Mark Stein. With the old regular himself, Alan Corran. Before we start round one, here's an item noticed on a village notice board.
Ladies, keep fit. Join Mandy on Mondays for aerobatics.
Yes, well, thank you, S.E. Simmons of Leominster in Herefordshire, for that. Francis, the first question is for you. Who didn't dare look in the mirror for fear of the curse of the tomb?
Could this be Lady Thatcher?
It could be.
Who has been on her best behaviour this week. She came out and said that no one had a higher opinion of John Major than she did. And it then turned out she meant that she thought he was a blithering idiot. which is what the Mirror has been running all week in extracts from her memoirs, or not, as the case may be, but they seem to be it. And she just says that everyone in the cabinet is no good. And they're mostly people who she appointed in the first place when she was still Prime Minister.
This was the shocking news that a British Prime Minister might have told lies, although not as shocking as the bombshell that anyone thought they might have told the truth. In her book, Lady Thatcher reveals how she pretended John Major supported her, even though he didn't. She goes on to criticise his intellect, claiming he is small-minded, but Mr. Major replied that, A, there is nothing wrong with his intellect, and, two, what does she know anyway? Nick, your question now. Who's taking the mic or with an offensive against offences?
This is 27 Ways of Catching Rat Boy.
Yes.
Yeah? This is Michael Howard's way of solving the problem of the boy in Northumberland and Newcastle who can't be caught. He's devised 27 different ways of doing it. And everybody loves him for it.
Absolutely.
They think he's a very good fellow and that law and order will return to our shores.
That's right. Absolutely. So it was the Home Secretary, Michael Howard, who announced his blitz against criminals. He's ordered Bomber Command to start night raids on Wormwood Scrubs. The measures include a move to identify criminal genes from DNA, while it was pointed out the Prime Minister has got some pretty awful ones from C&A. One excited young Tory jumped up and demanded the birch, but was told to wait as it wasn't his turn. Mark, who published his Splendour but won't be damned?
It's the Pope has published his latest encyclical, which always sounds to me like something you take a ride on in the Tour de France. And in fact, that's not unconnected with what it's about.
It's all right.
The Pope has come out very strongly. He's reaffirmed the Roman Catholic Church's opposition to homosexuality, as opposed to the Church of England, where it's compulsory now.
It was the Pope who issued his encyclical renewing the ban on artificial contraception, called Veritatis Splendor. It's a sort of Vatican News, but of course with a special pull-out supplement. Pope, no, please. Pope John Paul, or to give him his full title, Pope John Paul George and Ringo, declared that a lot of sex is wicked, although a small amount can be pretty entertaining as well. All this free advice about lovemaking comes from an unmarried man whose qualifications include a GCSE gilt, A-level funny hat, and whose only known sexual experience involves heavy snogging with airport runways. Alan, will you listen to this?
Girls, girls, girls. Girls, girls, girls. Girls, girls, girls. Girls, girls, girls.
Well, yellow, red, black, or white. Add a little bit of moonlight for this intercontinental romance. Shy girl, sexy girl, they'll like that fancy world. Champagne, a gentle song, and a slow dance.
Well, that, of course, was Girls, Girls, Girls by a group called Sailor. And your question is, Alan...
They've just discovered them, have they? No wonder they're excited.
Anyway, your question is, Alan, who's been ministering to four or five on the side?
One of these women is a friend of mine.
Oh, good heavens.
The eighth one, I think. Might have been the 14th. It's a man called Stephen Norris, who is bidding fair to be the next Prime Minister. He's going to step into this gap because he can clearly handle things wonderfully. He's got all these birds all around. Nobody knows. He's got one of the Pope's encyclicals. He's on it. He's away like a ferret. He still manages to hold down something apart from all these women. He's got a job. He's got a job in the cabinet. Nevertheless, he's at it like the clappers day and night.
These were the revelations that Transport Minister Stephen Norris has had four or five, or even possibly six, extramarital affairs. The MP was proving the old Tory definition of a mistress as something between a minister and a mattress. In the midst of mounting speculation. What an unfortunate phrase. It was revealed that Norris even once propositioned Edwina Curry. Proof at last that too much of it does affect your eyesight. Scores in the eyesight division of 2020, or in news quiz terms, 4-4. We start round two with an item from the Preston Evening Post.
The Cotty Book car boot sale, refreshments, play area and bouncy cattle.
Thank you to M. Brittles of Cheshire for sending us that cutting. Francis, your question again. Where won't there be a long wave goodbye?
This is the BBC.
It is.
The very station we're on, Radio 4.
Right.
Where long wave is going to be saved. It's not going to have the rolling news, but instead it's going to have rolling cricket all summer. The thing was, everything was going to go to Radio 5, but then David Mellor ran a Save Radio 5 campaign. Nobody else wants to save it, but he did, because he's on it all the time. So.
Makes a nice change.
So they then decided that perhaps Radio 4 was a better target, but David Mellor's on that all the time as well.
It is a decision expected next Monday, or earlier today, as to whether the long way... As to whether the long-wave service of Radio 4 is to be preserved for our continental listeners. But just in case it goes wrong, here is a special BBC greeting for our friends in Belgium. Goodbye. The betting is that the planned non-stop news service, generally known by its unofficial title derived from a mixture of cricket and boating terms, bowling rollocks, will instead... Look... If they don't know what it means, it won't hurt them. We'll instead take over Radio 5, the station with more name than listeners. The move to non-stop news will mean losing Test Match Special and the Open University, so no more incomprehensible technical jargon churned out by weirdos in ancient clothing, and no more degree courses either. Nick, that should have been yours, but this is yours. What revolutionary body will make an unguarded move?
I think this may be Lenin's body, is it?
It is Lenin's body.
Which is about to be recycled by McDonald's in Gorky Street. And...
Hey,
what
welcome...
else are you going to do with it? The guards have goose-stepped down to Boris's dacha, along with a crate of vodka, and they've left Lenin's tomb unguarded.
You're absolutely right, Nick. This refers to the closure of Lenin's tomb, where the revolutionary leader has lain since 1924, and where the Daily Guard has been disbanded. They decided he hadn't tried to escape by now, he probably never would. In fact, they plan to move him to St. Petersburg. Meanwhile, cynics have cast doubt on the relic's authenticity. The theory is that the original leader started to crack up a few years ago and was replaced by an unconvincing dummy, an idea they got from watching the Tory party conferences. Mark, will you please listen to this?
Those wedding bells,
wedding bells,
those wedding bells,
wedding bells.
Oh, we could talk all night, but you won't understand.
Well, that was Wedding Bells by Godley and Cream, and your question is, who tied the knot at an almost right royal do?
This is a reference to the latest royal wedding. So by the Monday repeat, maybe the latest royal separation. We don't know. A bit touch and co. But apparently the stingiest, it's Viscount Linley and his lovely bride Serena. And the stingiest present givers have been the members of the royal family. Apparently, Prince Charles, I think, has only given them some pillowcases. And Prince Edward has given them 8 cups and saucers. But Elton John has spent, I think, £6,000 on something very lavish. I'm not a Diamante hairpiece or something like that for them to treasure. So it's the latest royal wedding.
It is, you're absolutely right. It's Viscount Linley who is breaking from royal tradition and saying, I do, as opposed to the more traditional, see you in court, big ears. His bride is Serena Stanhope, who dodged the press on her hen party wearing a spiky blonde wig, which led to speculation that after the nuptials, Sue Pollard will be 31st in line to the throne. As the wedding party left the church, Prince Edward delighted the crowd by catching the bouquet and then proposing to it. Alan, your question now. Why is boxing clever?
He's claiming the right to silence.
Clever. No, it's not the Ben Eubank fight.
We know that. Nick.
Well, it's because amateur boxing, obviously, you know. We were good at it as kids, and this is why our brains are so enormous now. Isn't that what it was?
It's true. It gives you faster reflexes.
I think a few rounds would do you right.
Yeah. we'd have got that if we'd beat you to a pulp before the programme started. There must be something in it.
Anyway, it is the news, Alan. You'll be delighted to know that boxing makes you more intelligent.
It must have been in a paper with polysyllables in it. Know what I mean, Barry.
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Being in the ring has taught Frank Bruner how to count up to 10. The trouble is that he... The trouble is he thinks that the next number is out. Scientists have proved that being smacked around the head stimulates the brain and improves the memory. Well, you're hardly likely to forget being beaten up by some maniac. Anyway, and the more one is hit, the greater is the effect, said Emeritus Professor Joe Bugner. When asked the time. Good heavens, we've come to the end of another round, and the scores have changed dramatically, ladies and gentlemen, because Alan Corran and Mark Stein are 6, but Francis Ween and Nick Clark are an amazing 9. We start round 3 with an item from the New Zealand Times.
Napiat is an 8-year-old gelding by Taipan 2 from Miss Viva, owned and trained at Riverton by John Curran, who races him with his wife.
Well, thank you, Dr. W. Landers of Potter's Bar, for sending us that. Francis, where will you be able to catch the late night muse?
Oh, this is Poetry Week.
It is.
A lot of poets are going to write news bulletins, which are going to appear after Newsnight, I think, and also scattered through the day, probably. So they're going to have to find a rhyme for John Selwyn Gummer other than bummer.
Yes, it is the BBC's plan to invite poets into the newsroom to render the day's events in verse. A rehearsal ode, The Lovers of MP Stephen Norris, is currently being written by a team of 8 poets working in shifts. On a lighter note, the show will end on the traditional amusing news item written by Ted Hughes. Here's a brief extract from the rehearsal.
And finally, the skateboarding duck lay ripped asunder on the earth's brackish throne. And now the weather.
Nick, will you listen to this? That was the Song of the Volga Boatman by the Red Army Ensemble. And your question is, Nick, what round-the-world row turned into a round-the-world row?
This is a father and son called Smurgis or Sturgeon or something who set out to row from Russia around the world, and when they reached Ramsgate, they thought they'd reached the end of the world, so they stopped.
Well, I see nothing to argue with that. This is the Russian father and son who abandoned their attempt to row around the world in a 14-foot boat after they set out for Venezuela and ended up in exotic Ramsgate. Eugenie and Alexander Smurgis arrived in Kent armed with only two words of English, up and balls. Young Smurgis was sent ashore after an argument with his father. Apparently, after 3 months at sea, the youngster refused to sing his chorus of 15,000 green bottles hanging on the wall. Mark, who gave dormitory life the thumbs up?
Dormitory life? Is this a school story?
It is a school story.
Somebody has gone to school and likes the dorm, and likes the dormers?
There's no way of sort of explaining this. I mean, you need a lot more paper than I've got here. I mean, basically, they all do. They like it wherever they've gone, Winston. And they've got girls now. I saw they were on the news at lunchtime. The girls were wearing these brown uniforms. I don't know why that's stuck in my memory. I don't think I'm too old to go back and read that.
This is the survey commissioned by the public schools watchdog Ofspank, which reveals that 78% of boarders prefer life in the dormitory, a statistic which proves that old masochistic saying, today's public schoolboy is tomorrow's Frank Boff. Alan, try your hand with this. Who has been forced to count the cost of a summer's rain?
I fear, I mean, there are a lot of them in the news. Barbara Cartland has now got this club, did you see?
No.
The 91-year-old, you can now join her romance club for $10.95, and you get two novels, and you get a tape of the old bat whistling one of her... You get a signed photograph of her, and you get a leaf plucked from a tree planted by Queen Elizabeth in the grounds of her home. Oh. None of this is any use to this answer, which is actually about her daughter-in-law.
A daughter?
A daughter, that silly count that married her.
I knew... This programme had trouble written all over it from the word go.
You didn't laugh at plucked. Why did you laugh at... Anyway.
My class is steaming up over
this,
here.
This Frenchman that she's married...
Yes?
It is alleged, ran away from the expensive reception at the Rat and Ferret without buying his round. And the landlord is pursuing him down the road, waving this bill for a ploughman's lunch and a large Guinness.
This is the Count de Chambrun, husband of Acide Rayne, and son-in-law of Dame Barbara Cartland, or Acid Indigestion, who is being sued by a Bath hotel to recover part of the bill for his wedding reception. The manager of Lucknam Park first became suspicious when the couple registered as Count and Countess Smith. The next stop could involve sending in the bailiffs to seize the family's most valuable asset, although before she's loaded on the van, Dame Barbara will probably insist on being proposed to first. Well, the scores at the end of the third round are Alan and Mark 10, but Francis and Nick still proudly in the lead with 13. Before we start the final round, the following was spotted in that well-known periodical, Health Today in Northumberland. It's from a list entitled, Tasty Tips for Healthier Eating.
Make custards, sauces and rice pudding with skimmed or semi-skimmed milk. Use fats that are high in unsaturates, like sunflower, corn or rapeseed. Have beard, no butter, with meals. It's great for mopping up gravy.
I'm sure it is. Thank you, Nicola Fife of Cramlington in Northumberland, for sending us that. Francis, would you listen to this, please? That was, of course, Climb Every Mountain from The Sound of Music. And your question is, Francis, which social climber is planning to be on top of the world?
Well, this isn't Rain Spencer. This is the Duchess of York.
Yes.
Who is going to the Himalayas.
Quite right.
To Everest. And the Queen has banned her from going all the way, as she tends to when she's on holiday.
With Stephen Norris, is that? Or,
no, he's been specially told not to take her boots off.
Party of Sherpas. And she's well, her financial advisor is going along in case she gets frostbite to warm up her toes. But apart from that, she's not allowed to go to the summit. She's just going to wander around the foothills with her Sherpas, as her financial advisors are now renamed.
If there were a poet doing the news now, you'll be tempted to do the grand old Duchess of Yorkshire, 10,000 men. Took them up to the top of the hill, which took them down again, and when they were up, they were up.
This is the Duchess of York, who announced her plan to climb Everest, where she can enjoy the novelty of having her picture taken on top of a mount. The idea caused yet more concern for the Queen, who is still smarting from Fergie's awful disgrace of bringing ginger hair into the family. Fergie will, of course, be taking a Sherpa, because the hampers won't fit into the Range Rover. She's studied pictures of the route she hopes to take, and she'll be off just as soon as the pass for the ski lift arrives. Nick, why might your window on the world no longer be in the clouds?
This presumably is a Virgin story of some sort.
It is a Virgin story, yes.
Yes.
Richard Branson, he's taking all the windows out of his airplane, or of his airplane.
Francis Wynne strikes again.
And putting videos in there instead. It saves money. And everyone seems incredibly keen on this, I think. So it's absolutely nightmarish. I mean, you wouldn't really want to fly on a plane not being able to see out, especially a Richard Branson plane. You don't know where he might be. But that's what he's going to do. He's going to play non-stop rock videos and also show film of sunny beaches and things rather than seeing the clouds.
Brilliant.
So people are going to get very disoriented.
Brilliant.
I think the other story was more fun with the headline in the Sun, Pilot Flies Undone.
There was the one about the joystick, but we skipped that.
Yes, let's go back to the Richard Branson one. It is Richard Branson who's come up with a plan to do away with windows in his passenger jets because they're too expensive. Instead, the space will be used to provide video screens with passengers choosing what they want to see. Maybe a nice documentary on the kamikaze movement, or perhaps a little light relief with the Buddy Holly story. Traditionalists will be able to call up a video showing the standard view outside the aircraft. It should be popular on long-haul flights, as careful use of the fast-forward button could halve the journey time. Anyway, Mark, what had a really good idea under the sea?
It's about the Panama prawn, which invented the wheel. You're not going to believe it. He won't believe it. A prawn invented the wheel long before man did.
A prawn?
Yeah. I think it invented fire as well, but it didn't work down there. Otherwise, the prawns would have taken over the world by now.
They haven't?
It's called a Panama shrimp or prawn, depending on the size. Depends on the size of wheel you want. If you've got a Mickey Mouse tricycle, you have a little shrimp in the front and a couple of prawns at the back. But millions of years ago, rather than crawl about, it decided that if it put its tail in its mouth, it had been to public school and it picked up...
I've never seen that in a workout video.
If it put its tail in its mouth, it could roll along the bottom of the sea.
Absolutely right, and Mark was absolutely fascinated by it. Thank you, Alan. This was the discovery that the wheel was invented by the ancient Panama shrimp, which sadly failed to take out a patent. It's all to do with the shrimps doing backward rolling flips when the tide comes in. Anyway, anthropologists have concluded that the local Indians knew this all along and fitted shrimps to everything needing wheels, which explains why there's never been a Panamanian world roller skate champion. Alan, you did so well with that. Here's your proper question. Who ran into trouble and only just saved his bacon?
Oh, this is not the man who was savaged by the pig in the New Forest.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, there's no good laughing. It's a sad story. It's the last thing you'd expect walking through the forest to be attacked by a pig. Usually the other way round in Hampshire. This is the time of year when commoners in the New Forest have a common right called mast, which entitles their pigs to go out in the forest and eat acorns. Mm-hmm. And they do this at this season because they've just had piglets, which come along in about midsummer. And the one thing you mustn't do is go up to a piglet because a pig will come out and fill you in. This is what happened. A bloke was walking through an enclosure in the New Forest and he said, oh, what nice little piglets. And as he bent down, the sow went for him. It if he'd been attacked by a prawn, we could have wrapped up two questions in one.
One, we could.
And I don't believe the pig had invented the wheel. Been very interesting questions this week. I think, Barry, we've addressed some of the major topics on the world scene.
I think we have.
God, stoner crows.
Yes, you're quite right, saying that under an ancient New Forest statute, police are powerless to prosecute, but they have given the pig a stern warning by surrounding it with loud hailers and calling out, Dewhursts, Dewhursts! That brings us to the end of the contest, but before I give you the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Francis, what have you brought for us?
This is an advertisement from the back of one of those catalogues that come with your credit card. The Miracle Piano Teaching System is probably the world's easiest, most entertaining way of learning how to play the piano, a unique way of bringing out the musician in you. In fact, because of the way the lessons are structured, within a few hours of installing the Miracle, you'll be playing along to Beethoven. The next day, you'll master notes.
Nick, what have you got?
Well, in tune with the European feel to this programme, this is from the French newspaper Sud-Ouest, but in deference to those who speak Belgian better than I do, I'm going to read it in English. A 36-year-old American who had undergone 9 unsuccessful attempts at in vitro fertilisation finally used her younger sister as a surrogate mother by inseminating her with the help of a large glass syringe sold for basting joints of meat. It was very simple, said Janet Johnson of North Carolina. We sterilised it in the dishwasher, my husband did the necessary, and my sister stood on her head. Frankly, we've had enough of doctors. They were costing us a bomb and getting nowhere.
Mark, what have you brought?
I've got one from the Somerset County Gazette. It's actually from their 50 years ago column, but we like to be up to date on the news quiz. An enthusiastic meeting was held in the municipal buildings Taunton to discuss plans for Taunton Onion Week. The object is to collect onions which will be taken over by the Royal Navy under the slogan, an onion a day keeps the Navy all gay. It brings tears to your eyes, I always find.
Alan, I'm sure you've got something to cheer us up.
Well, I've got one from the Daily Telegraph. And it's staggering how standards have fallen at the Telegraph, but there you are. Richard Plant, 29, of Johannesburg, was cleared of indecency for driving while wearing only a T-shirt after he told a judge his girlfriend was sitting on his lap.
Well, that rounds out the evening. Let me give you the final scores at the end of the contest. Alan and Mark have well earned 14, but Francis and Nick clinging on to their lead of this week's winners with 17. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Ledbury Reporter sent in by David Robson, also of Ledbury, in Herefordshire.
Two Worcester youths were cautioned for theft at Hereford Police Station after officers in Ledbury caught them with an armful of road signs and house nameplates. Sergeant Tony Fisher of Ledbury said one of the youths said they were lost and looking for Wellington Heath, but the police officers pointed out that they had stolen the sign indicating where the village was.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Alan Corran, Nick Clark and Mark Stein. The chairman was Barry Took and the cuttings were read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was John Naismith.